This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't think it was a ton of Indians fans, but I saw some on social media saying that that could be it. That could change
the
season.
Anything's going to change a season around, that's going to be the one.
It showed fight, which where have you seen that this year from the Cleveland Indians? I mean, honestly,
none.
Where has it been where this team has battled back against a team like the Red Sox? And I get it, the Red Sox, they've had their implosions all year. That's their 10th blown save.
There were people saying, oh, there's no quit in this team. Yeah, there is. There's plenty of quit. They quit the night before. They quit against the Rays. They quit when they had Kevin Plawecki out there twice.
So do we think that's more indicative of them being fighters and realizing they had to get their you-know-what in gear? Or was that just a fluke? Was that a fluke at Fenway? Three guys that, you know, you wouldn't think would come through in those moments came through.
Well, if you wanted to be nasty about it, yeah. I think it's all based on belief. If you're a positive person, you're positive about the Indians, you're saying that there's a chance. And I still think that there is a chance. Baseball is the most unpredictable thing out there. Because it had to start somewhere. You mentioned it yourself. The 10-game winning streak that got them into the postseason, 2013, right? Mm-hmm. The 10-game winning streak. It had to start at some point. The 22-game winning streak they had. It had to start at some point. So if this starts here, okay, fine. Because the biggest tests are ahead of you. You have Boston again today at 6:10. And then it's next week. You have the Twins and Yankees for a 6-game set that's at home. And then you have the Reds, which the Reds are middling. They got a couple of good players. Obviously, a local kid, Derek Dietrich, who I think that'd be a lot of fun to see him in the
home run derby
here. I think that'd be a blast. That there is something there. Where if you could get some wins there, say you take 2 out of 3 against the Twins and 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, you're not dead. You're not dead. You might be in a little bit of trouble, but you're not dead. You have the White Sox. So say you get a win today. If I'm going to make some sort, and I know that there's people out there going, Ken, what's the chances? I get it, but I got to piece it together somehow. So if I get 2 out of 3 against the Twins, 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, I'm able to get the White Sox, say you get 2 out of 3. That's the most you can hope for. If I get series wins out of this, then by on June 13th, I thought that that'd be the date, the decision of whether or not I decide you're alive or dead. You have an off day that day. It's right after the quick 2-game series with the Reds. Then we'd make our decision there. I'd still have to say alive. Taking 2 out of 3 against good teams, 2 out of 3 against the division leader, who after that you'd still have 13 games left against. You're not dead. You're not dead whatsoever. So, that's me putting the most positive face I can on it,
yeah.
Knowing that by then you should have Mike Clevenger back.
Yeah,
so
I think so.
Now you're. I gotta win. I can only take a one. I can only win one game every day. So if I win this game last night and I do it from a come from behind fashion, and it can spark something, all right, I'll take it and run with it.
You know, it's crazy to think that we are a third of the way through the season. I know it's early, and Memorial Day is always like an indicator. It's always considered a marker to try to figure out where these teams are.
Nowhere, yeah.
And by the way, teams have absolutely come back from 10 down, even later than this in a year. I just look at this lineup, and I'm like, they're nowhere near as good as last year. And while I'm excited about Mercado, and he has shown some signs of life early with that bat, Luplo is crushing left-handed pitchers. Not so much against righties, so uh-huh. I don't know if you can play him every day, although I alluded to that over the weekend and I got crushed on social media. And the Bobby Bradley thing, when he comes up, could their lineup transform? That'd be an awful lot to ask. It'd be one thing if they had a bunch of veteran hitters doing well. They would need to rely on these young guys. And I just don't know that you can do that, because I don't even know if the Indians know what they're going to get out of Bobby Bradley and Oscar Mercado throughout the rest of the season. And hell, I mean, Bowers, I know that guys were talking about just giving up on him. You're not doing that. You're not giving up on the guy. You're still going to give him some room. There's a reason you traded for him.
Yeah. 216-578-0092. Trying to get to KC. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Can you save a season on May 28th? It still seems to be way too early, but if I'm starting somewhere here, I just want to look back at this and say, all right, where do I look at with Francona? We had a caller call in, and I disagreed with him because I didn't think it was realistic where he talked about the motivation of Francona. The motivation of Francona is one thing, but when we go over the Indians, and so many have gone over the corpse, like Bull yesterday, and I'm sorry, I thought it was premature. Burying him that early, I thought that that was a premature thing to do. That they've had good pitching in the past, they've had decent hitting in the past. If you get Jose Ramirez heated up whatsoever, I think it changes the complexion of the season. And if we're only, what, a game and a half out of the wild card spot? You might be able to bring the Twins back to you, but you can still stay in the thick for the wild card spot. Then I give myself a chance. If you're right there going for that second wild card spot, you give yourself an opportunity to get back to it. So I can't say that you're out of it just yet. But where Terry Francona lays is that I don't want to see people blaming a lot of this on Francona where, yeah, I know they've been upset with Yandy Diaz and or the Yandy Diaz thing where they let go of Yandy Diaz and they put that at Terry Francona's feet. I don't really blame him for any of that stuff. I haven't really put that at his feet because you're playing veterans last year because you think you could win. So you weren't going to go in that direction. And you thought you could, honestly, he thought he could win again this year. I think Terry Francona, say this thing doesn't go the right way. Was Terry Francona, yes or no, trying to salvage the season? Trying to salvage another run?
Of course he was.
Okay. So I know that Yandy Diaz is doing well and people want to blame Francona on that. But if he's doing everything he can as a manager to try to get his team back to the postseason, which is his job, he's going to go for the vet. And remember, people keep saying, well, he's in love with Jason Kipnis. Can you tell me a team that's been interested in trading in that contract sincerely?
There's a reason his name has been brought up like 2.5 consecutive years.
They have tried to move Jason Kipnis for the last 2.5 years. There's a reason why people won't bite, because that $17 million a year contract is a succubus that continues to run them dry every time. So they're trying every single time to move this guy. I don't think it's a love affair with Terry Francona and Jason Kipnis. I think that's a realization that he believes that veterans are going to be the ones to get it done, not Yandy Diaz at the time, which great for Yandy Diaz, but I'm still not going to put that at the feet of Terry Francona.
Yeah, and let's not act like Terry's the first. Tito's the first ever one to not guarantee a guy like Yandy Diaz everyday playing time. Had he earned it? At that stage, I mean, a lot of guys have to come in on spot starts and try to figure their way out in this league. So I still don't want to kill him for that. I know it's easy to do now because who saw him being able to do this throughout the season? And now joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we welcome in none other than Casey Stern. Perfect time to talk to Casey as we're wondering in baseball, and you watch a ton of it and you monitor all the teams. The Indians were declared by many here at this station dead 24 hours ago. And then they have a win that we hadn't seen, a fight in them we hadn't seen all season. Can the entire season turn around in one game, Casey?
It can. I think if you have the talent where you can make a comeback and be able to have the health in which you can sustain performance in a rotation, neither of which those things I think they can do. So I think it can. I mean, I'm not surprised this is first because we're looking at a Hall of Fame manager running this team, and you've got a lot of guys who have been in this culture and have won at a high level, and I don't necessarily think they're going to go lay down, but I think the problem is they didn't do anything in the offseason to show anybody that they wanted to make one more run at this thing. They were going to do it if the guys they already had would get them there, but they weren't going to push any further. And I think it you know, put them in a spot where they didn't have any depth, and that's the problem. And look, it's been years where, let's not forget, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, guys like Clevinger were in the bullpen. We didn't have a Bieber. There were, you know, the Ryan Merritts of the world that were going in. You know, we had a bullpen so deep, it's the only time that we've ever seen regular or postseason any team throw five pitchers out in the first five innings of a game and win. When Otero went in two-thirds of an inning into a game in, you know, Toronto in an ALCS. So, you know, their depth isn't what it was, and the injuries have hurt them more than they probably would have years ago. And I think when you look at that and combine it with, you know, Kluber and Clevinger and the injuries and the Twins, it is done. It is.
Casey Stern joining us on the show. Okay, if things don't go this way, who do you lay the blame on?
I don't think there's any blame. I mean, I don't think, honestly, you know, the only blame that I would give, I think everybody always looks for blame. It's like, you know, look, this team in, you know, not a large baseball market, certainly, and I know obviously it'll be center stage, and I'm glad, you know, sitting here in a few weeks, but in a market that's not a very large market, in an era where, you know, we're seeing this, you know, really Kansas City and Cleveland both did it almost seemingly back to back, they got to a point where, you know, minus a rain delay, which was unfortunate, they might have won it, one of the greatest World Series that we've ever seen. And they were able to sustain winning. I think the biggest mistake in the blame for me, and I would put some blame, is I think, and I don't think it's, look, I don't think it's Mike and Chris. I think it's probably the ownership. Is I think the ownership pulled back a year too soon. I do think you can go too far. I watched Ruben Amaro do it in Philadelphia, where they doubled down on the contracts of Rollins and Howard and Chase Utley, and they extended that thing way too long, and it put them behind the eight ball. We saw the Kansas City situation. People got on them a couple of years ago. I think they could have taken another run at this and done it in a smart way. I mean, there were relievers out there you could have gotten on 1 or 2 year deals. And if it's 2 years and if the team's not good, like if this were to happen, let's say at the deadline, then you've got guys who are not just rentals, they're controlled for another year. They could have gone out there and added an Adam Jones way before they got a cargo. So I would put some blame on the ownership and the organization for not doing enough to at least, you know, tweak this thing a bit and improve it to make one more run at it. But other than that, I don't know if there is any blame to go around.
Casey Stern joining us on the hotline. We were wondering this question earlier today. Right now, the Indians are sitting there 10 games back of the Minnesota Twins. Twins a winner yesterday. But they're only a game and a half back right now of the wild card. But yet some people think the division is still going to be the more obtainable. What do you think?
No, I definitely think that's ridiculous.
So you think the division's over? You think Minnesota has locked it up?
Well, I think it's over because I think this team is going to go the other way in July. So I think you're going to, at August 1st, be looking at a team that doesn't have Trevor Bauer or Brad Hand or a few others. So I think business is about to take over. I think you know, beyond wins and losses in this sport, you have to look at the writing on the wall that the ownership shows you with moves they make. And when they didn't do anything and spend any money in this offseason, they already were considering the fact that this was going to be the last run. I know that sounds sad, it's unfortunate, but that's where they were. That's why they looked at move Kluber and will this offseason if he's healthy enough. And that's why I think Bauer will be gone, you know, assuming he stays healthy in a couple of months. They already knew they were going to do that. They just thought they would do it at the end of the year. I don't think there's any way if they're playing like this and sitting, you know, just a tick under 500 that they're going to stick with it past July unless they don't get any offers on any of their players that are worth it. And I don't think that's going to be anywhere near the case. I think the Nationals and the National League and the Indians and the American League will both be sellers at the deadline.
Casey Stern joining us on the show. So Trevor Bauer, you think, would be a potential target. Brad Hand would be a potential target. Some people have bandied this about, and I'm against this, but what would it take to get Francisco Lindor off the
Indians? No, they're not doing that yet.
Well,
they will, but not yet.
We had callers yesterday, and they were like, hey, we might as well
That's why they're callers.
Okay, well, how soon then?
That's why they're callers, not GMs. They're not doing that yet.
Okay, well, when do I have to worry about that? Because I just assume they're not going to be able to re-sign.
Next year. They won't do that yet because they're not, first of all, teams need to, they still, even though, you know, TV rights are what they are now, you know, turnstiles are not as big a deal as they used to be, not nearly as big a deal as they used to be when you know, I'm sitting there, you know, 30 years ago as a kid, that's all anybody cared about. But I think at the same time, you don't want to basically just sit there and, like, you know, set fire to the entire organization once they were done. They're not going to do that. So I don't think there's any chance. Now, look, will teams make phone calls? I would make phone calls. I mean, it's not just Frankie Lindor. You know, owners and GMs get phone calls on top players all the time. Just the same way you go out in a fantasy league and you just go look at the best players and you send, you know, 174 offers to Mike Trout and you don't even get a response for 170 of them. They're going to get calls. But I don't think there's any way that that's going to happen. I think you'll see Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor on this team. I think, you know, you'll end up having Carrasco, Clevinger, Bieber. Look, this is not going to be a team that can't be good. but they're going to need to be smart with the moves they make. Now, look, is it impossible that they go on some run here and the Twins fall on their face and they're in a division race and they don't make moves? Yes, of course it's possible. Is it possible that they win the wild card? I don't know why anybody doesn't think that's possible. Yeah, it's possible, but I don't think that this organization, considering the way they handled this offseason, this is just, I mean, this is almost just common sense. I don't think anybody should trust that they didn't understand that this wasn't the last run. That's why they didn't spend the money. Think about how many relievers went by. Think about how many outfielders were out there that they wouldn't even spend money on that were just for the rest of this year. This team was not going to spend beyond this year. So if they're sitting there three out of a wild card in July 15th, is it possible? Yeah, I don't think they're going to get, you know, blown away from the contention at all. I wouldn't be shocked if they were only six out, let's say. But they can't hold on to guys when, if I put Trevor Bauer out there, the only guy who's going to be ahead of him in terms of value, and it's only going to be because he'll cost less as a rental and because one of the greatest postseason pitchers ever, is Bumgarner. But who else is there? Marcus Stroman? I mean, Bauer would be, at worst, the second-best pitcher that's available, and at least you get another opportunity next season with him.
Casey, real quick, Derek Dietrich, is he going to be in the Home Run Derby?
No, I hope not.
Why not?
Wait a second.
Why not?
Hmm?
He's a local guy.
Why right not?
Now. He's from Cleveland.
I hope not.
He's got 17 home runs.
Yes, I understand. And Scooter Jeanette had a ton of home runs there as well after failing in Milwaukee. I also understand that this is why Coors Field being mentioned by anybody is a complete failure of anyone to understand what baseball is today compared to what it used to be. Because now you can pick out three stadiums that actually are normal size, not the ones that are small. For example, the fact that Camden Yards has actually outdone Coors in terms of homers, I think, five of the last 6 years. No, I hope not. I want to see the five dudes who can hit the ball the furthest. For the Cleveland faithful who are listening, I hope that it's a nice hometown story. But no, as somebody covering it, absolutely not. I hope not.
Well, fine, Casey. We thank you very much for the time. All the best, bud.
All right, boys. Be well.
You too. Casey Stern, MLB Network Radio, Sirius XM, MLB TV, NBA TV, all over the place on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We follow up on this when we come back. And also, more nickname controversy surrounding your Cleveland Indians on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.